Jonathan Doherty's book, Secrets, is the true story that takes you on his journey through brokenness and despair that will captivate you, encourage you, and ultimately motivate you to live your own life to the fullest. It is a story of a man who had a secret, one that shaped his view of life and relationships for 13 years. Secrets is Jonathan's story of overcoming addiction, infidelity, and finally finding the path that led him to a place of true peace and freedom. Whether you are living a double life of secrecy and lies or not, Secrets will move you to reconsider how you live your life from this moment on, challenging you to live each day with no more regrets. Secrets, a true story of addiction, infidelity, and second chances, is available wherever Christian books are sold or on the book's website at www.secretsbook.net. Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity. Your hosts for Pure Sex Radio are Jonathan Doherty and Lee Preston. Jonathan is the director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Lee is the founder of Shadow of His Wings Ministry. Visit us online at puresexradio.com. Today's broadcast, Healing Hidden Wounds with Lee Preston, focuses on helping individuals who struggle with unwanted same-sex attraction. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Lee on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad to have you here with us. My name is Jonathan, and I'm here with Lee. Lee, how you doing?
I'm good, Jonathan.
Good. Well, we are going to, this is our Healing Hidden Wounds segment that we bring at you every 4 or 5 weeks just to bring you a different perspective on the whole issue of purity, primarily dealing with folks who are struggling with some same-sex attraction and wanting to deal with that in an appropriate way, in a way that they can find healing. And that's kind of Lee's expertise and what you bring to us every time we do this. And so this time, Lee, it looks like you have an interesting issue that I guess comes up fairly regularly in guys that are wanting to deal with some unwanted same-sex attraction, where essentially they say, okay, I get the idea that maybe I could get to a place where I'm not struggling with these homosexual feelings, but I can't even imagine being attracted to a woman. So right. Why don't you kind of lay the foundation for where we're going to take this conversation?
Okay. Well, it's an interesting conversation, and it's like you said earlier before we got on the air, this is something we come up against a lot. As you come out of same-sex attraction and you kind of hit that middle spot where, okay, I'm sensing that my same-sex attractions are diminishing, but I could never see myself really being attracted to a woman. So I guess I'm just going to be a eunuch for the rest of my life, or whatever that means.
Well, yeah, and I guess part of this, the question that immediately enters my mind is, what do you see then as the vision that a lot of these guys are casting for themselves whenever they even come for help? They obviously come and say, I'm not really wanting to have these homosexual feelings, But then it seems like maybe they never thought beyond that to say, well, then what happens if I get to a place where I'm no longer feeling compelled or this compulsive tug to be giving in or moving towards homosexual feelings? It's almost like they don't look past that to say, well, then what is either the alternative or what's the long-term vision then for your sexuality?
Sure. And you actually probably have, you know, guys on both ends of that spectrum. You've got the guy, like you said, who hasn't looked that far in advance, just knows he doesn't want the same sex attraction. But then on the same token, you have that other guy who desperately just wants to get married and just wants to make it all okay. And so he's already out looking for a wife before he even deals with the same sex issues.
Is that more of like an image thing to say, listen, if I can just look like I'm heterosexual, then maybe it'll just all kind of click into place?
Or sure. Look like, act like, they have their own dreams and goals as well. I mean, we all kind of grow up with a dream that someday we'll have the, you know, wife and the 2.5 kids and the 2-car garage and all that kind of stuff. And so there's that dream still. And it's like, well, if I can just find the right woman, then this will all go away. And that's not necessarily true either. So, you know, certainly the desire is to try to help the guy see, just seek purity, just general purity in your relationship with Christ. Seek a relationship with Christ. Then he'll help you with everything else and helping it fall into place.
So it's just maybe trying to lay a broader foundation or a broader vision beyond just, because don't you think a lot of times what happens is really anybody who's seeking help for unwanted sexual acting out, regardless whether it's homosexual, heterosexual, whatever, anything that's kind of outside the parameters of what God has established as healthy sexuality, don't you think part of that is saying they come to get help for that and their focus is so narrow on whatever their sexual behaviors are that they don't really have a vision beyond, okay, what would it look like to be in a healthy marriage beyond the sexuality part? In other words, getting outside of the homosexual thinking, but also then getting into a marriage and what does it look like in a broader scope than just healthy heterosexual sex?
Right.
Instead of, and maybe seeing that, well, there's more to that relationship. It's a broader appreciation of the marriage covenant and the appreciation of a woman and selflessness and all these other things that are components of a healthy marriage, rather than just saying, well, I'm not attracted to men anymore.
Right.
You know?
Right. And so now, okay, I've done that. Now what's, you know, now
right.
How do I become immediately attracted to women? And it's like, okay, that doesn't happen so quickly. It just takes a little bit of a step in that direction. And then slowly God takes the reins there and kind of helps the guy change.
Well, so then kind of take us maybe through this progression of what it's going to take then, or maybe where some of these foundational elements start in this guy's thinking, and then how that can kind of be transformed through time to get to a place where there can be truly a healthy appreciation and attraction and movement toward a female.
Sure. Well, I think one of the first places to start is to kind of lay out the blueprint that kind of got this whole thing revved up in the first place. And that is, you know, since that guy, and I'm speaking strictly to male same-sex attraction today, since he's been attracted, to the same sex. And is it because he's got this strong love attraction to the same sex? No. It's because from the moment he began to realize his attraction, it's been out of a brokenness in his own relationship with his family or his past or something in that mix there. And so everything that he's been about has been idolatry and lust and all those things that kind of rev up this machine in the first place. And so when a guy starts to think, well, how am I going to ever be attracted to women the same way I've been attracted to men? Pretty resounding answer is there is, thank God you won't be attracted to women in the same way you've been attracted to men, because mm-hmm. the attraction to men has been all idolatry and lust, and the attraction to women should be more of an appreciation of their differences and a seeking out of that mystery that is a woman.
Well, talk about that idolatry a little bit more, because I'm thinking, you know, maybe our listeners need a few more word pictures or something to go a little deeper on. How do you see it as idolatry as being kind of the primary factor in some of this attraction towards men?
Well, as we see in both, in any kind of an addiction, whether it's heterosexual or homosexual, idolatry is a big issue, because it's putting that image up on a screen and saying, oh, this is what I want, if it's, in my opinion, if it's heterosexual attraction. But if it's homosexual attraction, it is, yes, that's what I want, but it's also, that's what I am not, and that's what I desire to be. And so that idolatry kind of clicks in at that point, I think even on a stronger level than heterosexual addiction, that says, man, that guy in that image, he is definitely better than I am. He's got more this than I've got. He's got more that than I've got. And so I almost worship that image as something that I'm absolutely not, hoping to have it kind of acquire. It's called cannibalism, and some folks have called it cannibalism regarding kind of wanting that image, wanting those characteristics of that image.
And as we've discussed on a lot of previous programs, in terms of some of the other external factors, in terms of father-son relationships and some of those other things, along with any sort of trauma or abuse or those sorts of factors, can factor into that of where a young boy might start to be aware of or create an awareness of these deficiencies in himself, then that he starts to seek out affirmation through others who have these characteristics that he deems to be, that he would deem to make himself worthy, and he sees it in this other person and says, okay, if I can get close to this other person, this other man, then in some ways I will be able to kind of obtain that worthiness myself. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Exactly. It's like a guy I worked with one time who kind of was hanging out in the locker room at his high school. Actually, it was a junior high. He was around 13. And he's getting undressed and dressed for PE or athletics, whatever it was. And he looks over next to him, and there's this, you know, fully developed guy who's got a completely stronger, more masculine body than he ever thinks he'll ever have. And so what does he do? He begins to think less of himself. Well, he doesn't have a relationship with his dad, so he's never really been told, hey, you're a good boy, or you're a good son, or you're going to be, you know, you're going to kind of be a chip off the old block kind of thing, and you're just like me. So he begins to see this image and go, man, I'm never going to measure up to that. So what does he end up doing? He gets online and starts looking for other pictures to see if there's anybody out there that looks kind of like he does at his age. But he's comparing himself to older, grown-up men, mm-hmm. mature men, and so he always falls short. And so the idolatry begins to fall into place there of saying, well, I want to be like that, I should be like that, and I'm woefully inadequate in this area. And so he begins to, it gets worked into his puberty, and it gets worked into his body changes, and it gets worked into his sexuality at that point.
And don't you think also this idolatry creates a sort of an obsessiveness to it? In other words, by constantly focusing on this individual's deficiencies, what they're doing is then they're looking to their own sex for adequacy. And when they've got tunnel vision on, like when a boy has tunnel vision on other guys to try to make up for his perceived inadequacies, guess who he's not paying any attention to? Girls.
Right? Exactly.
So it becomes this tunnel vision obsession that excludes even the possibility of thinking about girls in any sort of romantic way.
Most definitely, and most often, that boy who's idolizing after guys and feeling woefully inadequate feels like no girl's going to be interested in him anyway. And yet, unfortunately, usually the other piece of that, or the mixture into that recipe is that usually he's become great friends with all the girls because he sees himself as more of an equal on that level. And so he really doesn't have any female attraction that's on that level of kind of the romantic level, because he's already great friends with all of them. And so he usually gets more of the comments of, well, I just want to be your friend. I kind of want to be involved.
So do you think then part of this, the difficulty in this transformation in thinking that a guy would have to go through in terms of coming to a place where not only is he dealing with this obsession about his inadequacies, and he's been trying to meet those inadequacies by sexual relationships with other men who seem to have what he doesn't have. Do you think there's the one aspect of trying to deal with kind of retraining that thinking, but do you think one of the other major obstacles in getting him then to see women in a new light is that he's never once really thought of a woman in any sort of romantic context, because all of his you know, developmental years were obsessed with other guys. And so there really was never even any development of thought processes related to romantic interests in a female.
Sure. And I think that's kind of where the piece begins to happen, where you've got to start looking at that as you roll out of same-sex attraction and begin rolling into at least finding attraction towards women. Because the bottom line there is I can no longer just be friends with every woman if I'm going to be looking in the direction of having a solid, healthy attraction for women. And so it's not always just about being friends. It's kind of pressing away from the friendships in women, pressing more into friendships with men, and beginning to understand that, wait a minute, I this mystery that's about women, I really don't have it all figured out. Just because I've been like one of their buddies for the last 20 years, I don't really know the mystery of romance with a woman.
Mm-hmm. Because regardless of how, you know, women will talk to each other and they'll talk about everything, right?
Right.
Well, when this guy has kind of just grown up being friends with women, just another one of the girls, so to speak, that is not the same dynamic that a woman has in relating to a man in a romantic relationship. And so I don't care what this woman is saying to all her girlfriends, that sort of talk and that sort of giggling and that sort of all this kind of stuff. Guess what? When she's in a conversation with a man over dinner, the dynamic changes dramatically.
Most definitely. And actually, I would offer to you that the woman who has made great friends with this formerly same-sex attracted man, it's got some brokenness in her as well, because she's been drawn to a man who is benign.
Mm-hmm.
He is not a threat as far as his masculinity is not a threat. And so he will never relate the same to another woman as he's even related to that woman, because most often those particular women who become very best friends with same-sex attracted men have fears of that masculinity to begin with. And so what you ultimately find is as this guy breaks away from same-sex attraction and finds that woman who's really okay with his masculinity, then, hey, at that point, the whole game changes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it becomes more exciting, and that's where the guy tends to have to begin pressing into finding the mystery and realizing, wow, what have I been missing out there?
Sounds like it becomes a little more exciting, like, let's say, jumping out of an airplane and wondering if you put a parachute on, right? That kind of
exactly.
Exciting.
Well, that's the way most guys in the beginning will say it that way. I can say that on the other end of it, it gets a lot more exciting every moment. But sure, in the beginning, it's like, wow, you know, I don't understand this species that I'm just now finding. I'm afraid of it. I don't know how to handle it. I'm not sure who they are. I don't know how to be attracted. I don't even know how to open a door without, you know, feeling like one of the girls or mm-hmm. those sorts of things. So what do I do from here?
Well, and I was going to ask, okay, so let's say we've got this guy that he's progressing really well in his recovery, in his sort of transformation in his thinking regarding his own sexuality and how God has designed him, and he's breaking away from a lot of those patterns of homosexual thinking, and he's kind of getting to this transition point. What do you say to this guy, or you know, how do you help this guy get to a place where he's starting to think in terms of, well, I need to think about women differently than I have in the past? What do you say to this guy to help him begin to think about women differently?
Well, usually I say, first of all, don't be afraid. You know, similarity is not all it's cracked up to be. And that's all he's ever really been in for the last however many years he was in his same-sex attraction and the brokenness was mm-hmm. just similarity. I know men know me, I can relate to them, at least I can relate to same-sex attracted men, I can't relate to other men.
Right.
And so I'll just stay in this one little niche and I won't ever break out of that comfort zone, and so I'll just continue in this place. And that, hey, differences can actually be okay. And then you usually have to say, well, what about, you know, when they say, well, okay, well, maybe there's, you know, there's Susie over here, you know, I've been friends with her for almost 10 years, and so maybe I'll ask her out on a date. Okay, hold on now, put on the brakes. That's not the wisest thing to do. You know, Susie's a friend. Susie's not a romantic interest. So well, why not her? At least I know her and I'm comfortable around her. And it's like, okay, let's walk through that a little bit. She's been more of your buddy than your romantic interest. So you kind of usually have to say, let's start kind of doing some adventurous kinds of things.
Because he might be able to say in his head, I can see how the transition would work, and it would freak Susie out, probably.
Sure.
Because,
sure,
like, hey, you're my friend. Why on earth are you now, like, wanting to get close to me in a romantic way, you know?
Exactly. Or she might be like, hey, hot dog, this is what I've been waiting for. But it still doesn't necessarily mean it's the best relationship,
right,
for him. Because it's, once again, it's choosing someone based upon my comfort level, not based upon those things that God, I believe, set up in us, which is looking for that romantic interest, finding that attraction, feeling that little bit of a you know, butterfly in your stomach as you get to know that person, and also not just settling. You know, some guys say, well, I'll just settle for, mm-hmm, because she's my friend, and God doesn't want us to settle. He wants us to go to that woman that is his best for us and help that guy see that. The other thing is pressing out into the unknown, not just the known. See, I think most guys who are in same-sex attraction, they love the known. You know, they love the guys they're comfortable with. They know the girls, and they like being around the girls they're very comfortable with, because the one thing they don't like is rejection. I mean, that's like the turn-away word. Oh, and guess what? None of us like rejection.
Right.
But it's even more hard, I think, for guys who've had same-sex attraction, because, you know, they don't like to be rejected, and they don't especially like to be rejected by women. So it's like, okay, you know, how do I do this? Well, you may have to face some rejection out there, because part of dating is saying, hey, you want to go out on a date with me, and hearing
no.
No, right. You know, we either hear no or we hear yes. And
or maybe.
Yeah. And sometimes,
give me your number.
That's right.
I'll call you.
Yes. And most guys freak at that. You know, oh,
right,
my gosh, I could never ask a girl out on a date. You know, well, you can't wait for her to ask you out on a date, because, uh-oh, we're right back in the same boat again.
Well, isn't that part of it, too, is that part of that true unknown, and this is something that I think is true of any person who's developed sexually addictive patterns, whether it be homosexual or heterosexual, is there's this issue of initiative. And a lot of times people get so lulled into their familiar comfort zone, even if it's, you know, killing them, whatever the addiction is.
Right.
That you lose your initiative. You don't really, you kind of want to just fit in. You kind of just don't want to make the waves. And of course, again, the rejection issue is huge. And to have initiative means you're pressing outside of the lines that have always been so familiar and comfortable. And that runs with it the risk that, well, that initiative could backfire on me.
Amen.
It could mean I could get my knees knocked out from under me and the wind knocked out of me. And, you know, so there's part of this, I would assume, is also helping a guy understand that there are appropriate risks to take in learning what it means to develop a new mindset of initiating a relationship with a woman in a romantic way.
Exactly. Because the truth is whether it's a job and whether it's a career, whether it's a passion, whether it's your wife-to-be, there is really nothing to be gained in passivity.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is gained when you pursue. You know, you don't send out one resume and get that immediate job. You know, you got to work on that. You don't go ask a girl out one time and get turned down and just say, well, forget it, then I'm out of the game.
Right.
You got to keep pursuing. The other thing that I think is important to that is understanding that, you know, there's a real difference between the lust machine that was started in the very beginning of this guy's life as he began to get into the porn and get into the addiction, and the love machine. Because that's really, you know, what I also want to speak to is what happens once I find this girl and I do kind of like her, what do I do next? And I think what's important there is to realize that it's not going to be the same way as it was when you were involved in the lust. It's not going to come as quickly as far as the attraction and the move and all that stuff happens. God takes us on a process there.
Mm-hmm.
And I always like to say, you know, if porn and masturbation and erotic interludes create the startup of the lust machine, my belief is that kissing and getting to know that person is the startup of the love machine. It's not revving it up fast and furious. It's taking it slowly. Some guys are saying, I don't even know how to kiss a girl. Well, that's, and I'm starting that during this session because I think it's important that guys understand that the art of kissing doesn't need to go away. Mm-hmm. You know, it's lust is not kissing. Love is. Lust is get straight to the down and dirty. Love says take your time, get to know this person, but also enjoy connecting with her on that kissing level when it's time.
Yeah, and learning that there's something very you know, special about, like, your heart racing to hold a hand or
exactly.
to put an arm around someone. You know, that it's to get familiar in a new context with the fluttering and sort of the mystery and the adventure and these things that are truly going into the areas of the unknown, but you're going into it with already established boundaries that are healthy. The lust machine says, hey, no boundaries, man, just blow through any line that you might have had.
Right.
Love says, you know what, I'm going to go into this pursuit with boundaries already in place. And so you kind of know, and this is part of the communication process too. Is this guy learning how to communicate? Well, I need to be, first of all, thinking on a different level, but now knowing how to communicate on a different level so that there aren't false expectations on either side of this relationship, because she may be coming from a background of brokenness too that says, hey, okay, I'm going to be able to express love by having sex with this guy.
Exactly.
And it needs to be communicated. Wait, that's not me anymore.
Right.
I'm not going to do that. I have boundaries, and I want this to be more about love than simply lust.
Exactly. I think just, you know, and maybe we'll do another radio show at some point regarding this, but I think it's really important just to know that, you know, don't be afraid of it. Mm-hmm. Because the most important thing to grab onto is, it's just because I haven't known it doesn't mean I can't know it.
Right.
And to take your time and realize that this really is a God thing at this point. You know, because he will bring, if it's his will, he'll bring a woman into your life that you can find cherishing and love with and hope with, but that will also lead to truly great romantic love and great sex. And that's what's important to hang on to.
Yeah. And I just want our listeners to know, too, that, you know, there are some phrases that have gotten popular over the years that are total bunk. Ignorance is not bliss.
That's right.
You know, ignorance is what got a lot of us in a whole lot of trouble for a lot of years. And so as you come out of this, any of the listeners who are saying, you know what, I don't want to be involved in these homosexual attractions anymore. First of all, number one, there is hope that you can be free from those attractions. The second thing is there's even hope that you can have a healthy romantic attraction towards a woman and be able to you know, culminate and manifest that in within the context that God has said. Now, I wanted, as we're closing up here, I just want to let our listeners know that Lee operates a ministry called Shadow of His Wings Ministry, and his whole ministry is about helping folks with this sort of brokenness to be able to break free and live lives that are healthy before God and before others. And so you can check out more about Lee at shadowofhiswingsministry.com. And we look forward to having you back here again next week when you come at you with the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
You've been listening to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Learn more about our show at puresexradio.com. Thanks for tuning in to today's broadcast. We want to hear from you. This broadcast is not possible without the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Our mailing address is coming up. Get your pens ready. You can also contact us by phone at 1-800-49-PURITY. That's 1-800-49-PURITY. Our mailing address for your notes and donations is Pure Sex Radio, 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 401, San Antonio, Texas 78217. Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.